when the laser was activated, producing more than 1,000,000 watts of infrared energy once it raced through the lasing cavity. More than 1 megawatt, Harry thought. Sounds like a lot, but it's about the explosive equivalent of a lousy hand grenade. Still, slap a hand grenade against the side of a boosting rocket and you blow it apart. That's what we've got to do, Harry told himself. Wally Rosenberg sidled up to him with his usual crafty grin. El Jefe's down among the peons, huh? Ignoring Wally's sarcasm, Harry said, a pinpoint leak anywhere along the tubing could louse up the coil, maybe blow up the plane and us in it. We ran a nitrogen purge through the system not more than 20 minutes ago. No leaks. Angel Reyes came up, looking intent, totally focused on his job. Don't worry, Harry. Everything back here is okay. Harry nodded absently. We've got to make this baby work right. The first time. We won't have the chance to tinker with her and try again. Reyes straightened up to his full height, barely taller than Harry's chin. It will work, he said. His voice was soft, but the intensity in his eyes was iron hard. Harry looked at the two of them. Reyes standing as if he were facing a firing squad, Rosenberg in his usual slouch, his sly grin fading into something less certain. I've got to ask you both, Harry said slowly, and I swear to you this'll go no further than the three of us. Did one of you pull the lenses out of the Ranger? Reyes looked surprised, then hurt. Rosenberg gave Harry a disgruntled huff. I haven't gone farther forward than the fucking galley since we took off, Harry, said Rosenberg. Then he amended. No, wait, I took a piss in the forward toilet. I used the toilet back aft here, Reyes said, clearly insulted at Harry's suggestion. I'm sorry, guys, Harry said. I had to ask. One of us tried to screw up the mission and— It wasn't me, Rosenberg snapped. For once he looked serious. Or me, said Reyes. Harry puffed out a weary sigh. Then it had to be Monk or Taki. Rosenberg's crafty half-grin returned. What's Tiki Taki's religion, Harry? She wouldn't be a Muslim, would she? In the cockpit, Colonel Christopher said into her lip microphone, Brick, where's that message from Washington? Haven't you got it decoded yet? One more minute, Colonel, the communications officer replied. This one's in a red priority code. John, how far from the coast are we? Charmin's deeper voice immediately answered. 150 miles, ma'am. Christopher nodded. Off on the horizon she could see a smear of clouds that must have marked the coastline. Her flight helmet felt as if it weighed a ton. But we're too close now to take a break, she told herself. Got to sit here until we're finished. She glanced across the console of throttles at Major Kaufman. Obi looks calm enough. He had the sweats when we were waiting for the tanker, but he looks okay now. You need a kidney break, Obi? He shook his head hard enough to make his helmet wobble. Won't have time for it once the shooting starts, she prompted. Kaufman frowned, then grumbled. I was okay until you mentioned it. He unstrapped and hauled himself out of the co-pilot's seat. Christopher chuckled to herself. Got the scoop from Washington, Colonel, O'Banion called. Hand it to me. The red-headed comm officer ducked through the hatch and gave Christopher a flimsy sheet of paper. She read its two lines quickly. North Korean missile launch imminent. No fighter cover for your mission.